can see Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. It is our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Can I regale you with a baseball statistic before we begin our football discussion?
I would love it.
All right, so Shohei Ohtani hit his 50th home run last night. He has 50 home runs in back-to-back seasons. How many players in MLB history do you think have accomplished such a feat?
Three.
Oh, that is correct.
No way.
Well, since you got the first part right, do you want to try to guess the three? I mean, I already told you one.
I'll rest on my laurels.
Okay. Shohei Ohtani this season and last season. Alex Rodriguez in 2001 and 2002 with the Rangers. Okay. And then Babe Ruth in 1920 and 1921. And that's it.
Mickey Mantle didn't do it?
Nope.
Shocking.
Yeah, because I think Mickey Mantle ended up in the mid-40s and high-40s a couple of times.
Right.
Which probably preceded or followed like his 54 home run season.
And,
you know?
And Maris had the 61.
Yeah.
And that might have been it then, huh?
Exactly. So that's it. Just those three.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And that's in, I'm sorry, actually, I might have told that statistic incorrectly. I apologize for lying to everybody. Don't. In their first two seasons with their new team. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I was like, Griffey did it.
No, I'm sorry. I misstated the beginning of that. I apologize.
You forgot the asterisk.
Yeah, I was trying to do things out of context, which I know has been really popular the last week or so. So I apologize. In their first two seasons with their new
with
team.
With the team. Okay.
All right. Now, for the Cowboys, do you want to talk about CeeDee Lamb going to Saudi Arabia to play flag football next year?
Yeah, what's up with that, Mickey?
You're breaking news to me.
Oh! The Cowboys have granted CeeDee Lamb permission to participate in the Saudi Arabian flag football tournament that was probably already best known as the Tom Brady flag football tournament because he is going to play in said tournament.
In Saudi Arabia.
That's right. They got money, man.
What? And when is this going to take place?
It is going to be next year. I don't remember offhand what month it is next year.
Okay. All right.
One would assume a good bit outside of the football parameters. So, Saquon Barkley has been contacted, Christian McCaffrey, Sauce Gardner, like all these people have been reached out to because if Tom Brady's going to be in it, they want to make it a big deal.
And I bet they're getting paid well.
I have no doubt about that, good sir.
That would be the only way I'd go out there.
Yeah.
Somebody would have to pay me to go.
Oh, I'm with you, man. I'm for sale as well. So,
is it because of the long flight? Is that the?
I just don't trust going out in those places. Tell you the truth,
hey man. I trust. I made it this. And that's about it.
I made it this long. I don't need to take chances.
Okay. All right. Now we've heard rumblings that the Cowboys are going to be working out other offensive linemen, but I think the assumption is Brock Hoffman steps in because that's who played in overtime to replace Cooper Beebe. Does that sound right to you? And what kind of hopes or expectations are reasonable for Brock Hoffman?
Yeah, I always thought Brock Hoffman was a better center than he was a guard. I didn't think he, and this might sound weird, but I didn't think he was powerful enough at guard, but at center, I thought he was pretty good. And I thought he played well when he came in the game. And probably didn't have all that many snaps in practice, right? I'm good with going there. And then the immediate backups will be T.J. Bass and Trevor Keegan. And they had picked up Keegan off waivers after he got released at the end by Philadelphia. And so I think he's listed as an offensive tackle, but he has some center possibilities. So those would be the immediate backups. And that's always the problem when, you know, somebody gets hurt and you go, well, the backup's not bad. And then the question is, who's the backup to the backup?
Mm.
And then I see the Cowboys are going to sign Wesley French to the practice squad.
I love that name.
Wesley French.
Yeah, what a cool name.
So I think that's kind of how they're going to initially take care of that going forward. You know, Hoffman started 7 games last year replacing Zach Martin.
That's true.
Toward the end of the season. And, well, and I thought he played, you know, well enough for, you know, going in as a backup. So I think that it's in pretty good hands.
Okay. And I guess that was going to be my question, because everybody talks about his competitive fire and ability to piss off the opponent. And I appreciate all of that. But also, like, are you good enough to play the position? I probably care about that more.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think he is. I think, you know, the times I've seen him play center, and I'd have to go back and see, you know, how many games at center or how many games at guard. I don't know if I looked it up, but I just know from watching him and watching him, you know, in practice or training camp, it seems like, you know, he's better off suited for center. So we'll see what happens. As long as you can get the snap there, and you don't have problems with that, or get it on time and all those things. I think from a talent standpoint, you know, as a backup, I mean, at one point he was actually competing for that job. So, we'll see where it goes. But that's kind of the plan right now. When I asked Schottenheimer, it's like, okay, who's the backup to the backup? And that was his answer.
You know, I think it's interesting you were talking about that, because I think Schottenheimer, I want to say he was on with Sean and RJ when he said this. He might have been somewhere else, but they were asking about whenever you have two quarterbacks that are really close. And he said, always go with the young player if it's that close. He was like, if it's, you know, Dak Prescott, they're not going to have anything that close. But if it's like that, then you go with the young player. Is that why BB won then? I know he wasn't the head coach at the time, but he was helping in the decision-making. Is it because he was the younger player?
No, I think he, all along, when they drafted him, the idea was this is going to be our starting center. And, you know, for a while there, it was like, okay, we're going to let him compete and see what happens.
It was quotations.
Right? Compete. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. And it was like, that's what was going to happen. And the first opportunity they got, it was like, okay, he's in. You know, it was sort of, last year, I didn't know if they thought Guyton was going to be the starter. I'm going to forget his name. This veteran backup got hurt. I got a Buka on my mind. What's the guy's name? I'm sorry.
Awesome was the other one. I can't remember.
Anyway, and they were saying, well, that we were really going to start him. But you know what? Before he got hurt, they were competing. And, you know, and then they decided, okay, we're going with the young guy. You know, that's why we drafted him. He's going to be our starting left tackle. And he had growing pains. And I think, you know, this last game he had a few more growing pains. And so, but that was a very good, I don't know if the Giants got enough credit for the guys they had on their defensive front.
Travis Frederick was like the main central hub of communication whenever he was playing center. Is Cooper Beebe that main central? He's making all the line shift calls? Or how much does Dak have to do with that now? How much is that still his responsibility?
I think he had a lot to do with it last year.
Okay.
I think this year, Beebe was doing much more of it, and I heard Dak remark at some point in training camp that, yeah, he goes, Beebe doesn't have to check with me, or I trust him. He's got a better handle on making those calls at the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, he was moving right along, and, you know, here you go. There's always something in the NFL, right?
Well, does that mean then, do they trust Hoffman?
Do, just because he's somewhat of a veteran guy. I mean, what is it, third year, fourth year? I think that, you know, if he needs help or needs correction, he'll do it. But I think he's capable of doing that.
Now, in the probably the least surprising news we'll hear in the NFL this week, about 12 minutes ago, the NFL announced that Brandon Aubrey was their NFC special teams player of the week.
I kept checking on that this morning, and then I went down, and I bet they just did it when I came down.
Yes, it was like right at 11 o'clock.
Oh, see.
Why do you suppose they gave him this award?
I think maybe they
didn't
even vote.
I gave it to him Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I want to say I'm proud of your website, and I think that Nick Eatman already had this story written because the NFL announced it at 11 a.m.,
and
Nick Eatman posted at 11 a.m.
I've seen Nick
that
write.
Brandon Aubrey.
Yeah, right.
Because, I mean, like, but this seems like a no-brainer, whether it was going 4-for-4, probably more importantly, the 64-yarder to tie the game, and then also the game winner. This feels like surely one of the most overwhelming cases to be special teams player of the week.
I was ready to name him special teams player of the month.
Ooh.
Yeah, he is.
Who's going to do something more than what he did in one game for the rest of the month? Right?
Yeah, that is... It's pretty
I mean,
dang
it was
impressive.
Still, it was incredible. I mean, just the poise, just the, you know, I get the distance part, but what was on the line, both kicks, to go out there and execute that, what everybody yelling and screaming?
Yeah.
You know, in tennis, they would have held up the match. Ah, too much noise. I can't serve.
Right.
And this guy's got to kick a ball 64 yards.
Does that make you kind of think that tennis players are soft? Just
yes, they are. What was the match at the U.S. Open? It got delayed and because the people were booing something.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Remember that call?
Yeah.
And the guy just stood there and kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And I'm going, hey, dude, the ball's not moving when you toss it, right? Go try to hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball with 40,000 people screaming. Give me a break.
Do you think you'd be able to write more effectively if we were like standing over your shoulder, kind of booing you or cheering you on? Do you think you'd be like, I'll show them. This would be the best damn article I've ever written.
You don't know some of the circumstances I've had to write articles under.
I could see that.
And, you know, go courtside at a basketball game.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's yelling and screaming. And I had a funny one happen early in my career. I was courtside. The game was over. And I was writing a story. And I think it was, I was at South Carolina. So Columbia, South Carolina. Oh, I know what it was. It was Dave Bliss's first game, or not first game, first year coaching Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
Right. And they were really bad. And I was writing how they were overwhelmed by South Carolina. And then next thing I know, he's standing over my shoulder reading it.
Oh!
And he goes, boy, ain't that the truth. And I said, oh, thank God.
And then you didn't realize how right you were about that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I said, well, now I got confirmation of my opinion, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, ain't that the truth? I like that. All right, thank you very much, Mickey. I will come back tomorrow with a more straightforward baseball statistic and not mess up the wording of it.
And we'll get on to the Bears.
The Bears. All right, thank you very much,
okay,
good sir.
Sure.
There you go, Mickey Spagnola right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Ain't that the truth?
Man, I'm trying to decide. I was sitting next to somebody once at a high school at the scores table, and they said a racist comment while I was trying to write the story. And I looked over at them, and you could tell they thought like it was completely innocuous. And I was like, dude, what the hell?
Jeez, man.
Coming up next... Hopefully Alec Medford moves away from such topics in AM on the FM.
Tough transition. We got the question of the day, plus the sports feat of strength that nobody's going to talk about until now. Next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget, if you missed out this go-around on the Ultimate Tolo Cowboys giveaway, we're going to do it again today on our show from 1 to 115, and that will lead into G-Bag, and then back around to Sean and RJ all week long for your opportunity to win this. And there's only one thing that I can think of that would be better than that. And guess what? It's time for this.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet. Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, a sports feat of strength that was documented. Ooh. But nobody's going to talk about it until I do.
Did you ever used to watch those, like, strongman competitions ESPN? Okay.
I love those.
I did, too. And, like, just the things that they did, I was like, man, I never would have thought about that. But, yeah, that dude's strong as hell.
I still keep up with some of those, like, to the point where, like, that was something growing up that I loved keeping tabs on. And, like, when the Mountain from Game of Thrones, he set the deadlift world record, I want to say, like, a week ago. Like, my dad sent me the clip of it because he knows. Like, I have an odd interest in that stuff because I'm just like, how does the human body comprehend what's going on in that moment? And the fact that he just walks away like nothing happened. Afterwards, I'm like,
Magnus Magnusson. That was his name.
That's Magnus really his name?
Magnusson.
Man,
and he's just like pulling a truck like it's nothing.
He could pull it off.
My parents could have done better with my naming then.
And then when the Mandalorian got too cocky, he took him out.
Well, isn't that... What are you doing here?
Yeah.
Anyways.
That's what he did in Game of Thrones.
Oh. Well, I didn't watch it, so I wouldn't know. I thought it was just going to be some sort of play on a name that's incorrect. No,
that just feels like a Mike thing.
Because we do that a lot.
To do that, where he ascribes every single role as if it's the same movie.
That is a very Mike thing to do. That would be a fun like project to do if you could take one character from a TV show, not its actor, its character, and just plant it in a totally different show. Just for the chaos. That would be kind of fun. But the question of the day, gentlemen, we discussed it yesterday. Paige Bueckers, Rookie of the Year for the WNBA. And that happening made a very old tweet resurface from Gary Knox. This was September 24th, 2013. Keep that in mind. And the tweet reads, "Remember the name. Paige Bueckers."
What year was this? 2013?
2013. It says, "Remember the name Paige Bueckers."
Sixth grade.
Yeah, sixth grade. "Think Diana Taurasi. Best sixth grade guard I've ever seen." And a picture of her, a very low quality picture of her smiling at a basketball tournament.
Wow.
So Gary Knox at G Prep on Twitter, you can still see this. It's still up there and it resurfaces anytime she has a big game or anything, but it's really blown up after yesterday's announcement that she has won the Rookie of the Year award. So this is your chance, Tolos, Kevin and Corey, to show off your knowledge, your ball knowledge, if you will. What's the one athlete that you called their success? You knew it. You were way ahead of everybody else.
Julius Randle.
That's a good one.
Okay, so we go back to Prestonwood Christian Academy, and they had another player, Zach Peters, who he had already gotten a scholarship to Kansas and everything like that. And I know injuries, and maybe it was concussion issues specifically, ended up really derailing his career. But you know, you saw him play as a freshman and he was good. And then he was playing as a sophomore. And again, he was good. But the first time I ever saw Julius Randle, and he was a freshman and he was running the point and he took a ball coast to coast and then dunked on this chump. And I was like, holy crap. This kid is amazing. And like, again, Zach Peters, scholarship to Kansas. I was like, this is a whole different level. And obviously, he has done quite well.
I'm going to go back to my freshman year of high school. Whenever I told everybody that Kenyon Martin was a guaranteed NBA player and he would be a first round pick. And I think he went number one overall out of Cincinnati. And he turned into a good basketball player in the NBA. But like to see, I was watching a kid in high school with me.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, that looks like a dude that's going to play at a different level. Right now, there's a kid on Carter's football team. And I've told Kevin every time they play a game, I'm like, this kid's going to the NFL. He plays defensive tackle and offensive tackle as well. I don't know which one he's going to play in the NFL.
Okay.
But he's going to play one of them, Alec. And here's why. usually when he pancake blocks somebody, he lays on top of them and starts swimming on top of them like this, like just like stroking his arms and his legs. And then so I've seen that multiple times. But last night he clownied a kid where he broke into the backfield, hit the running back so hard that the ball jarred loose and took the ball from him while he was going down. And I was just like, this, like, he plays the game at a different level. He even has celebrations for his sacks, you know, like real celebration, not like fake stuff, like wrestling style celebrations.
Right.
That I'm like, oh my gosh, that's NFL stuff right there. This kid is in middle school. He's playing at a different level. Now, we've seen kids flame out, you know, things happen sure. to him and stuff, but this kid already is built like he's prepared for the moment. Whenever we started working together at the paper, Kevin, I feel like Rex Burkhead was already there.
Yeah, that's probably true.
He already had this status of like, oh my gosh, like that dude's going to do something. And he had this work ethic to go along with it too. So that was an interesting approach.
I'm so sorry, Alec. Can I submit one more? Because I'm really excited about this one. Will Zalatoris. I saw him play golf when he was in the eighth grade. Because we would have, like, you know, North Texas, a thriving golf scene. Is we would have all kinds of youth tournaments. And this dude was, like, always at the top. And so then I started to investigate. I was like, what high school is this kid going to go to? And I remember that I talked with the golf coach from Plano West at the time. And he is like, well, he would be in our system. And he goes, I guarantee you he would be in our starting five right now. And he might be our best golfer. And this was as an eighth grader. And so clearly he has gone on to not only make the PGA Tour, but definitely have an impact. And unfortunately, once again, injuries has been really the only thing that slowed him down.
We have a text from Bobby Belt, who tolos from the morning show, of course. And he sent us a tweet from April 27th of 2016. That's before the NFL draft went down, saying, I have a first round grade on Dak Prescott. Hashtag America.
Wow.
So I think that's a pretty good one to be right about. But of course, people are going to debate that all day.
Would he be a first round grade? Would you, like, looking back now, would you go, he should have gotten a first round grade?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He fell because of that one incident that I still claim to this day. He was hanging out with Jerry and Jerry planned it all.
I think the other thing is he just developed some of those traits, especially the leadership trait, better than maybe people could have anticipated. You know,
like, I saw that trait. I felt like I saw that trait in college.
I didn't see the
tight window trait in college, but right. I did see all these other things that I really liked about him at Mississippi State.
I remember when we drafted him, I was like, hey, getting Mississippi State to number one, even if it was only for one week, is one of the truly incredible feats of modern college football.
True. It is true.
Let's see. For mine, guys, then we'll go to the fan text because there's some great entries already. 877-881-1053. The athlete that you are way ahead of for their success. They turned out to be a stud. Corey and Carter Freeman will appreciate mine because he ended up being an Oklahoma Sooner. Kennedy Brooks, the running back.
Nice.
Yeah, he went to Mansfield High School, and I called plenty of his games for our student radio station, and it felt like anytime he got the football, it was going to be a house call. It was the most ridiculous, like, style of play that I have ever watched. They almost never passed the ball because they knew that there was a grown man in the backfield waiting to run people over and just foot race every single person. Watching him in high school was amazing. It almost felt as automatic at times as watching Kyler Murray, where you're just like, anytime you saw him make that first forced missed tackle, you're like, all right, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, like every time he got the ball, if he could just make that first guy miss, it's done. It's done. You're going to lose by double digits and you're going to accept it. Another one that I watched firsthand play against my high school, I don't want to claim his success because he's got a very famous name and people kind of already had high expectations for him. Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah.
We thought we had a very good team. I want to say it was my senior year at Summit. We thought we had a chance. Then we played against Bobby Witt Jr. and he hit every single ball that was pitched to him. And I was like, okay, well, we might go out on a sad note here. He hit some monstrous home runs as a high schooler. And I was like, yeah, he's as advertised. So it was one of those things where you're just like, yeah, I think people who are already saying crazy things about him, it might end up being correct.
Yeah.
They might end up being.
You saw Marcus Smart.
Oh, man.
Two.
Okay.
Because he was right after I'd moved on.
I will admit, I can't really claim Marcus Smart as much because much like your Bobby Witt discussion, he had already was like making a name for himself. But one of the things that you saw from that kid in high school is not only was he good, he was competitive as hell. And I mean that in the best possible way. He was like, I don't care what you do. I am going to will myself to victory. And then obviously we tried to tell Donnie Nelson the day before the draft that they should draft Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah, we were like, you should do it. And he was like.
From the 469, LaMarcus Aldridge played against him when he was a freshman in high school during a summer league game, and he just dominated.
And that's the humbling experience of kind of like, no matter how good you think you are at anything, there's somebody who's better than you. And we all run into that at different points in life. And freshman year playing basketball, I bet that was pretty humbling.
We've seen a lot of this from the 469, Kyler Murray, my senior year of high school, after he ran right past me all game long.
Okay, Kyler Murray. Man, we should have done a whole separate segment on this, yeah. Alec. Kyler Murray. Sophomore year at Allen, summer practice before he had played a snap for Allen. I'm watching their practice and I'm talking with their offensive coordinator, who is now a high school head coach as well. This kid comes flying out of the backfield. And I was like, who was that? And he goes, oh, that's Kyler Murray. And I was like, who? And he goes, he's our third string quarterback. And I go, that guy's your third string quarterback? And he goes, yeah, well, he just transferred here 2 days ago. Or like he just started 2 days ago or something because he had been in Louisville. And then he told me about his dad and everything like that. And I was like, this kid is a stud.
I can't say that, like, I can't put this feather in my cap, but I said he's going to play in the NFL. And that was Marquise Goodwin whenever I saw him for Rowlett. And I did happen to have an inside track. My stepbrother played with him, and he was like, no, he's an athlete. He's the best athlete at our school. And he ended up playing in the NFL and being a triple jumper for the Olympics. So I'll take that, too.
I really thought he was going to win Olympic medals to go along with that.
And real quick, guys, this is really just for Kevin because it involves math. A golfer at the Plantation Golf and Country Club in Fort Myers did something that is almost impossible. He made two hole-in-ones in the same round.
Shut up.
Of golf. And Plantation Golf CC on Instagram posted it, a couple of pictures of him celebrating with his golf ball used in that round. If you're curious, the odds of getting two holes-in-one in the same round, about 1 in 67 million for the average golfer.
Did they say what his score for the round was?
Let's see. It does not, because he only played, because there's a whole story about how he didn't want to play, but he got up off the golf cart and he's like, sure, I'll play. Man. And then I think it was in the course of three holes. He did
that. Okay. That's bananas. But the only reason I asked that is because I really wanted to know. So like, did he shoot an incredible round because of that? Or did that bail out other mistakes where he is like,
yeah, did he have a terrible round that day?
Yeah. He's, you know, like, what? No, I scored a 74, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, I don't care. Really? If I could shoot 120. If I got a hole-in-one that day, that's all I'm talking
You'll
about.
You'll never
on the
hear the
hole.
End of me, and you know what? I got a homework assignment now. I'm going to try to find out. I'm going to find this guy's social media.
Okay.
I dare you.
That almost sounded like a threat.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece.
Bobby,
yeah, he's already got it. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Do you already think this NFL team sucks?
Yeah.
Next on The Fan.
Hotton in motion. They are going to run it. And a no signal yet. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Rashad White on top with 6 seconds to go.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. What say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy?
Dip!
Dip it, rip it.
Now, let's start with the team that lost that game. I really like this quote. I could tell it was coming from a place of preemptive frustration. But C.J. Stroud since the Texans have struggled to start the season, said everyone's going to talk crazy and say we suck and we're this and we're that. But at the end of the day, we got to stay together and be honest and have hard conversations. Do you think after two games, people believe that the Houston Texans suck? Maybe do you believe that?
I think people believe that, yes. They were, and Kevin, this goes directly to expectation too, because the expectation for that team is that they were supposed to be a contender. They were supposed to pretty much run that division for a while too. And they haven't even gotten close to that since their success early on with CJ Stroud. He was supposed to be that next iteration of the young quarterback to take over.
Yes.
And it is their pass blocking, Kevin, that is their lowest feature for this team.
I mean, the early look at their offensive line, I'm glad that you have the stats to back that up, because they have not been very positive.
Yeah, their pass blocking is absolutely atrocious for that team. So, and again, I think D'Amico Ryan's a really good coach. I love what his defense is trying to do, but offensively, they're just not as productive as they're supposed to be.
Now, we already mentioned Brandon Aubrey won NFC Special Teams Player of the Week. You already knew that. Roquan Smith, the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Jonathan Taylor, the Offensive Player of the Week. And for the NFC, it's Fred Warner on the defense and Jared Goff as the Offensive Player of the Week. We mentioned this earlier in the show. Justin Fields has been ruled out for Sunday's game to continue just the overwhelming amount of quarterbacks whose names start with J who fell this past weekend. Hold on,
but I know you're saying the ones that got hurt, and that is how many quarterbacks' names start with J?
Well, think about it. You know about the injuries, and I just told you the NFC Offensive Player of the Week is Jared Goff. So there's a good chance that if you name your kid something with a J, they could play in the NFL. Is that the right takeaway?
All right, through the list here, Kevin. Okay. Patrick Mahomes.
Do not go through every quarterback and tell me they don't have a J in their name.
Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Or Josh Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Jalen Hurts. Jaden Daniels. Justin Herbert. Jared Goff. Jordan Love. I don't have enough fingers to scroll
Justin
into. Justin Fields. J.J. McCarthy. Michael Penix Jr.
No, don't list all the quarterbacks.
Lamar Jackson.
No.
Joe Flacco.
Wow.
That's a lot.
So at least a fourth of the league.
Yeah.
Their quarterback starts with a J.
And I'll count Penix.
How is that?
Junior.
It's junior. Yeah, I should have known that was going to happen. All right, let's go from that to
Bryce Young.
Okay, stop it. Fox has announced
Josh Young.
That the Steve DeBerg. That the Eagles Chiefs was their most watched regular season Sunday game ever.
You're kidding me.
33.8 million viewers. Now, there's a lot that goes into this. By the way, it was the most watched game in any week in September or October in NFL history.
Really?
Now,
Cowboys, that didn't. Wow.
It isn't.
Wow.
It is surprising. But also, this is a marquee matchup, Super Bowl rematch. You've got tons of buzz on both teams. And then I continue.
Potential of Taylor Swift being at the game.
I mean, true. Was she at that game?
I don't know.
Okay. And then the additional thing that we talked about going back is that the NFL had met with the Nielsen company, and they said, we believe we will get more accurate ratings count going forward. And so I wonder if this gave it the extra 2 million or whatever to put it on top. Don't know.
So people just also put out Joel Milton, Jake Browning.
I guess Jake Browning is...
For years now, the ratings have said that the Cowboys are a monster.
For sure.
What if these new Nielsen ratings show that has been inaccurate and the Cowboys don't continue to have that that they're the juggernaut in the NFL?
I don't think that is logistically possible. They might not be the juggernaut anymore. I'll still wait and see about that because they still drew a monster season open rating that was up, even though there was an hour delay in the weather. But I think the NFL's issue was all of their games were being undercounted. So I believe they just think they all should have been risen up. So just keep an eye out on numbers like this. And if some of these other records fall along the way throughout the season.
Jameis Winston, Jimmy G. I'm just saying there's a lot of J's. They're always J-walking.
I'm not counting Daniel Jones.
I will.
Okay. All right, let's go from that to, God, Jake I should Plummer. Have gone to a different story, and I know this is not a quarterback, but...
Justin Jefferson.
You know what really sucks? The next three things I wanted to go over are Jordan Mailata, yep. Jordan Mason, and yep. the Jaguars, and I'm not kidding you Jacoby about Brissett. That. Jordan Mailata says he understands the outrage over the tush push, but what's really making him mad is people insinuating or flat out saying that that's why they're winning games.
Jackson Dart.
Oh my God.
No, it is though. What do you mean? Like you're good. You do have the advantage on third and fourth and short to run that play consecutively. If people have stopped, it changes the way that you call a football game too. I only have to get 8 yards in two to three downs. And then I can, on fourth right. down, I trust that I'm going to be able to get this. And anytime I'm near the goal line, you bet your ass I'm going
to
do that.
He said it's disrespectful to their defense and special teams, who he felt in particular balled out in that game against Kansas City.
Okay, you can feel that way, and you should. And you should talk that way about your brothers on your team. That's absolutely, you should be propping them up for sure. But do not act like that is not a key to what y'all do offensively. It is. I have no problem with it. And so, but I don't want you to act like I'm one of those people that I'm all for it. It's an offensive strategy that you found that nobody can stop. Then continue to do it.
Now,
but don't act like that it's not the reason y'all are doing well.
Aaron Jones has been placed on injured reserve, which means Jordan Mason will be the team's RB1. You already saw him get plenty of carries in the first two games, and they're going to bring in the Vikings, that is Cam Akers, to go on the practice squad. Now, I want to update a story that we talked about, I don't know, like a year ago, because this story is amazing. And yes, I have a Jonathan Taylor story as well. The Jaguars have...
The Jaguars. I know. Like it.
They have agreed to a settlement with FanDuel. Now, if you remember this story with Amit Patel, going back to December of 2023, he was accused of embezzling $22 million from the Jags over the span of 4 years, most of which he lost gambling.
Now he's the head of the FBI.
He is not.
Okay.
This Patel is serving 6.5 years in prison for wire fraud and illegal monetary transaction. But Jacksonville's issue all along was, hey, FanDuel, no heads up about all these millions of dollars coming in for somebody who works for our team. And so FanDuel has agreed to pay $5 million to the Jags because he was using the Jags virtual credit card system to do all of this. And then he sent fake files to the team's accounting department. You need to fire your accounting department, too, if it took them 4 years to figure out that this was happening.
Yeah, that is a pretty good con that he was pulling along the way. Guess who runs that team?
Yes.
The con family.
I did know that. And then Jonathan Taylor reached a top speed of 22.38 miles per hour on his 43-yard reception over the weekend. That was the fastest speed by a running back since Raheem Mostert 5 years ago.
Joe Namath, Joe Montana, Johnny Unitas.
I'm not. Jeff I thought we George. Were talking about right now, not in the history of the NFL.
How many J quarterbacks do you think there have been in the history of the
How
NFL?
How many J's have you had this morning?
Enough.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next.
Johnny DeVito.
Help us all. NFL overreaction or reality.
Yes!
I'm so screwed. Next on The Fan.